The Jack Benny Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Benny has been confined to his bed for the past week with a severe cold due to an unfortunate occurrence at my house last Sunday. It seems that I had invited Jack and the gang to come over without telling my wife. Then, when we all got there, I thought it might be wise to break it to her gently by having them come in one at a time. And, well, while Jack was waiting outside, it started to rain, and as he...
A whole week flat on my back in bed. And for what? I ought to have my head examined. If I told Don once, I told him 1,000 times. I said, Don, call up your wife. Call her up, I said. Let's not barge in on the little woman. But no, Lois is a peach. She won't mind. She just loves to have company. Oh, nurse. Nurse.
Yes, boss.
Take this hot water bag away. It leaks. Look at this hole.
It's okay if you keep your finger in it.
I told you to have it patched. Look at me. My nightie is soaked clear through. You're a fine nurse.
What's that, boss?
I said you're a fine nurse.
Well, you've only been sick a week. I haven't had time to get a diploma.
Well, then take off those white stockings. You look silly. All I'm asking for is a little help. If you'd only try and answer the phone, will you?
Hello? Yes, he's feeling much better, Miss Lamar.
Well...
Yes, ma'am. I'll tell him, Miss Lamar. Thanks for calling.
That was sweet. Who was that, Rochester? Hetty Lamar?
No, Dorothy.
Oh, you mean Dorothy Lamour?
No, Dorothy Lamar. She's the cook next door.
Oh, her. Well, she works for Ronald Coleman. Ronnie probably wants to know how I'm getting along.
You'll make something out of it, won't you, boy?
Well, that's undoubtedly what it was. Mary, I told you not to fuss around the kitchen.
Now, Jack, you've got to eat this omelet I made for you. It'll do you good.
I don't want an omelet.
Well, you've got to have something. Here.
Oh, all right. Can't taste anything with this darn cold.
Rochester, did Mr. Benny sleep well last night?
No, Miss Livingston, he tossed and turned and kept talking in his sleep all the time.
Well, what'd he say?
Said he was going to give me a raise.
Well, I'm not.
You mumble again tonight and I'm going to stick a checkbook in your hand.
Well, don't try to pull any fast ones, Roger. Mary, what did you put in this omelet?
Vapo-rub. You've got a cold, haven't you?
Vapo-rub? That stuff is to rub on. It's supposed to be taken externally.
All right, put the omelet on your chest and leave me alone.
You leave me alone.
I never saw anybody so cranky. It's your own fault that you've got a cold.
My fault? I suppose it was my fault that Don Wilson invited us to his house and everybody got in but me. I suppose it was my fault. It started to rain and I got soaked.
Well, for heaven's sake, you don't expect him to bring home a whole gang of people without calling up his wife first.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Mary, you were at the studio. You heard me. How many times did I say, Don, call up your wife? Call her up, I said. Let's not barge in on the little woman. But would he listen to me?
Gesundheit, boss.
Thanks. No, he had to go and...
Gesundheit, Jack.
Thanks. He had to go and bring the whole gang out to...
Gesundheit, boss.
Thanks. Out to the house without letting her know a thing about it. I wouldn't have minded that so much, but when we...
It's your turn, Miss Livingston.
No, I said it already.
Yeah, but I said it after you said it.
Well, somebody say it. I'm superstitious.
Gesundheit. I don't feel good. I wish the doctor would get here.
Well, go to sleep for a while. The rest will do you good.
I can't rest. I'm so uncomfortable lying here.
Why don't you take some of those silver dollars out of the mattress?
What are you talking about? Silver dollars. And nothing in the mattress but feathers.
You ought to hear them clink when I make the bed.
Now, stop, both of you. I'm in no mood for nonsense.
Come in.
Oh, fine. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Benny. I wasn't doing anything, so I thought I'd come over and see how you're getting along.
Well, that's very nice of you. Have a seat.
Thanks. How do you feel?
Not so hot. I'm dizzy. My eyes are bleary. I'm weak, and I ache all over.
Well, you're not a kid anymore.
Now, wait a minute. There's only one thing the matter with me, Dennis. I've got a cold.
A cold, he says.
What's the matter with you? Haven't you ever had a cold?
Oh, Jack, don't be such a crab. Dennis comes over to visit you, and you jump all over him.
Yeah, if you're not nice to me, I won't give you the gift I brought for you.
A gift?
Uh-huh. Mother thought I should bring some flowers, and my father suggested candy, but I decided it might be better to give you something that you can get some use out of.
Well, I like practical gifts. What'd you get me, Dennis?
Set of false teeth.
False teeth?
Watch the way they grab your finger.
Ow! Now get those things away from me. I've never used false teeth. I don't need false teeth, and I don't want them.
Gee, then I guess I better take them back.
Certainly you'll take them back. In the first place, who brings people false teeth for a gift? In the second place, Dennis, when someone needs false teeth, they have to go to a dentist. An impression has to be made. Fittings have to be taken. Then you have to wait till the gums are set so the jaw won't recede. And even then, you may have to go back three or four times if the palate is irritated or the bite overlaps.
Gee, for someone who doesn't wear them, you're sure an expert.
Dennis, cut it out! Look, if you just came here to aggravate me, you can go home now.
Oh, don't mind him, Dennis. Whenever he's sick, he gets touchy like this.
Oh, that's all right, Mary. Hey, what's that on your chest, Mr. Benny?
An omelet. There's VapoRub in it. That was Mary's brilliant idea. When I wouldn't eat it, she says, put it on your chest.
I only told you to put it on your chest for a gag.
Well, it feels wonderful, so the laugh's on you. As far as I'm concerned, you can all leave me alone.
Oh, Jack, why don't you take a nap and rest for a while?
I told you I can't sleep. I'm too nervous.
Well, close your eyes and relax. You'll be all right.
Okay, my eyes are closed. Am I asleep? No. I tell you, I'm too restless.
You want me to sing you to sleep?
Oh, fine. That's all I need.
You know, I'm very soothing.
All right, sing me to sleep. Hope it's Rockabye Baby in the Treetop. That always gets me. I think I was 6 months old or something.
Go ahead. Sing, Dennis.
Okay.
Darn, this mattress is so lumpy, I think I'll take it to the bank Monday.
How I'd love to hear the organ in the chapel in the moonlight while we're strolling down the aisle where roses entwine. How I'd love to hear you whisper in the chapel in the moonlight that the love light in your eyes forever will shine till the roses turn to ashes, till the organ turns to rust. If you'll never come, I'll still be there till the moonlight turns to dust. How I'd love to hear the choir In the chapel in the moonlight, as they sang, oh, promise me, forever be mine. Till the roses turn to ashes, till the organ turns to rust, if you'll never come, I'll still be there till the moonlight turns to dust. How I'd love to hear the choir in the chapel in the moonlight as they sang, oh, promise me, forever be
mine. Gee, I put him to sleep all right.
You sure did.
Look at him lying there. Doesn't he look like a baby?
Yeah, all he needs is a rattle and a ton of makeup.
Huh? What happened?
You were asleep.
I was not. I'm too restless to sleep. Now go ahead, Dennis. Sing your song.
I already sang it. I'm not going to sing it again.
All right, don't sing. But don't try to tell me I was asleep when I wasn't. Everybody tries to make out.
Well, look who's here.
It's your piano player, Charlie Bagby.
Hello, Mary. Hiya, Jack. How's the invalid?
Not so good, Charlie. I got a cold.
Say, Charlie, how is it Frankie Ramley didn't come with you?
Well, he couldn't make it, but he wanted me to give this to Jack. It's a painting.
A painting? Ramley sent me a painting?
Well, he did this himself, and he's very proud of it.
Let me see. So Ramley painted this, huh?
Yeah, I think it's quite unusual.
But it's just a drunk lying on the curb. I mean, what's so unusual about that?
It's a self-portrait.
Oh. I say, that is Remley. So hard to tell with that dog licking his face. Anyway, it was nice of him to send it. Gee, I wish the doctor would get here. I got chills again. Where's the thermometer, Rochester?
Here you are. Open your mouth.
Say, Mary, has Don Wilson been over to see Mr. Benny?
Not yet. He's probably scared after what happened.
Well, what's he scared about? It wasn't Don's fault.
It wasn't Don's fault. If I told him once, I told him 1,000 times. I said, don't barge in on the little woman.
Hey, Rochester, what does the thermometer say?
39.
You made that up.
You made it up. I'm just going along with the game.
All right. I wonder what's keeping that doctor. That must be him now. Come in.
It's Don Wilson.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, hello, Don.
He's got nerve coming here.
Hello, Jack. I'm awfully sorry about what happened last week, and I came over to apologize. How do you feel?
Fine. I'm glad you barged in. How's the little woman?
Oh, Jack, it's your own fault that you've got a cold.
It's not only the cold, but when he left me standing in the rain, a stick-up man came along. I got hooked for $8.65. It was a terrible experience.
Did the guy pull a gun on you, Jack?
How else could it get $8.65?
I hope you're happy, Mr. Wilson, for everything you achoo.
Gesundheit.
Keep it. Don, if you think you can come here apologize, expect me to forgive you just like that, you're sadly mistaken.
But, Jack, I even went to the trouble of bringing the sportsman over here.
The sportsman?
Yeah. Come on in, fellas.
Don, why did you bring him here?
Well, I thought maybe they could sing for you and cheer you up. Go ahead, take it, fellas.
powder your face with sunshine. Put on a great big smile. Fill those blue eyes with laughter. Folks will be laughing with you in a little while. Whistle a tune of gladness. Who never was inside? The future's brighter when hearts are lighter. Smile, smile, smile. Powder your face with sunshine. Put on a great big smile. Fill those blue eyes with laughter. Folks will be laughing with you in a little while. Whistle a tune of gladness. Who never was inside? The future's brighter when hearts are lighter. Smile, smile, smile.
You feel better now, Jack?
Oh, sure, sure. Everybody sings to me. Nobody brings candy or
anything. Well, anyway, Jack, it sure makes me feel better to know that we're friends again.
Well, we're not friends again. You got a long way to go.
But, Jack, once in a while, even an elephant forgets.
Well, you ought to know, brother.
Oh, yeah? Well, if that's the way you feel, I take back my apology.
Take it back. Who cares?
Come on, sportsman. Let's get out of here. I've done all I can.
Big, fat hypocrite.
Jack, I still think you're being childish. You two ought to kiss and make up.
I wouldn't kiss Don Wilson if I was a French general. The way I feel now, I just about...
The doctor's here, boss.
Oh. It was about time.
Well, how's my little man, this bright and cheery day?
As if you cared. I've been waiting for you since early this morning.
Well, don't holler at me. I was up all night with Gene Autry's horse.
Well, now that you're here, you can look me over.
Yes, indeed. Now, let's see, what's wrong with you?
I've got a cold.
A cold, he said.
Well, that's what I've got. And another thing, I'm hungry. Is it all right if I eat something?
Oh, no, no, you should starve a cold and feed a fever.
Oh.
Or is it starve a fever and feed a cold?
You're the doctor, you tell me. Now, if you can't handle this, just say so. I'll call someone who can.
My, we're irritable today. Hey, let's see. I better test your reflexes.
My reflexes? My reflexes?
Yes, would you mind crossing your withers?
They're my legs. There's nothing wrong with my reflexes. It's just that I keep coughing and sneezing.
Well, in that case, I'd better give you a cold shot. That'll fix you up in no time.
But, Doc, I don't want a shot.
I'll just fill my hypodermic needle.
You're not going to stick that needle in me.
Oh, let him, Jack. He knows what he's doing.
But I don't need it, Mary. I've just got a little cold.
Now, hold still, and I'll put this needle right in your arm.
Well, wait till I roll up my sleeve. I never saw such an impatient...
Easy now. This won't hurt a bit. Here we go.
Now, doctor. Ooh, my arm.
There. Now, that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was, too. My arm hurts like anything.
Should I kiss it for you?
Don't bother.
Now, I want you to get all the sleep you can. I'll leave a box of these pills. Take one before retiring.
Okay.
Why don't you take one now, Jack, so you can rest for a while?
Yeah, I think I will.
Well, I'll run along now, Mr. Benny. See you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Now, if you kids will all leave,
eh? Excuse me.
Now what?
I forgot to take the needle out of your arm.
Ha ha ha! What?
I lose more darn needles out there.
Well, for heaven's sake, pull it out.
You're all right, now hold still. Ooh. There we are. Well, I'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Now, let's see who's my next patient. Oh, yes, Barbara Stanwyck's Cocker Spaniel.
Fine doctor, I think.
Well, it's your own fault. Why'd you call a veterinarian?
Because what happened to me shouldn't happen to a dog. Now, we should all go home and let me get some sleep.
Okay, Jack, I'll be seeing you.
Goodbye, Mr. Benny. I hope you feel better.
Oh, thanks. So long, Mary.
So long, Jack. See you tomorrow.
Rochester. Rochester, I'm going to sleep. If I get any calls, don't disturb me.
Okay, boss. If that streetlight disturbs you, I can pull the shade.
No, no, I may wake up and feel like reading. Good night, Rochester.
Good night.
Yeah, I hope I can get a good night's rest. This pill does make you kind of drowsy at that. Wilson had a lot of nerve coming over here tonight. I can't get over that guy. All this trouble I'm having for no reason at all.
I told him once. I told him 1,000 times, call up the little woman, I said.
So he won't be barging in. No, he had to be a wise guy. What's that? Who's that at the window?
All right, buddy, stick him up.
What?
Come on, give me your dough.
Well, you're the same guy that got me at Don Wilson's house. Remember, I was in the rose bushes.
Yeah, never mind that. Hand over your dough.
You can't do this to me. I'm a sick man. I've got a cold.
A cold, he says. Now, come on, fork over.
Yeah, I gave you all the money I had in my shoe, every cent of it, remember?
This time I want your mattress.
Yipe! Oh, no, you don't. Give me that gun. I'll teach you to break into people's houses.
No, no, don't shoot. Please don't shoot.
Take that. Oh, my goodness. What have I done? I've killed him. I've killed him.
Boss, boss, what's the matter?
Call the police, Rochester. I just killed a man.
Wake up, boss, wake up.
I'm not asleep. I just killed a man, can't you see?
Boss, wake up. You didn't kill anybody. You've been dreaming.
Dreaming? Oh, thank heaven. Gee, it was so vivid. So real. You know, Rochester, gee, you'd have been proud of me if you'd seen how brave I was just now.
What are you talking about?
When that big, tough burglar came in the room, stuck that gun in my face, was I scared? I grabbed the gun out of his hand and let him have it. Bang, 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 bang. Boy, did I give it to him.
Boss, when you take the right pill, you're a tiger.
You said it. Well, I'm going back to sleep now. Rochester, if anything happens, I'll let you know. Good night.
Good night, boss. What a man.
Jack will be back in just a minute, friends. But first, tomorrow, an exciting new chapter in history opens as CBS News takes you to Washington for President Eisenhower's inauguration and for the parade and inaugural ball. Stay with CBS Radio for this great event.
If I told him once, I told him 1,000 times. Call the little woman. Now, he ought to be a wise guy. I said, Don, let's not barge in on her. Call her up, I said. I begged her. Good night, folks.
The Jack Benny Program is written by Sam Perrin, Milt Josephsberg, George Balzer, John Tackerberry, Al Gordon, Hal Goldman, and produced and transcribed by Hilliard Marks. This is Don Wilson inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for The Best of Benny. Now, here's another of CBS Radio's Sunday evening stars, the man with the beard, Mitch Miller.
Thank you. You know, one reason I enjoy my Sunday evening show so much is that it's concerned with people, what happens to them and how they feel. And I believe people are the most important things in the world. There's a daytime program that's built around that same premise. I wonder if you've heard it lately. They call it The Quiz Program with a Heart, and every cent that my friend Warren Howell gives out on this show, Strike It Rich, is specially tailored to meet some important human need. Just the other day, sports writer Milton Gross came over to tell Warren about former basketball star Junius Kellogg.
He was one of the greatest, wasn't he?
Well, he was a rather singly young man. He was a fine ball player.
Mm-hmm.
He was a center at Manhattan College. He was 6'8" tall. And in 1951, during the basketball scandals, the gamblers tried to get to him to bribe him, and he turned them in, and he was the boy who broke the basketball scandals nationally. It took a lot of courage, a lot of faith, a lot of belief in the things that are right.
Unfortunately, courage, faith, and belief in the things that are right aren't always insurance against tough luck. Junius Kellogg sure had his share.
After he played in college, he played professional ball, and they were traveling from one town to another when the car overturned.
Mm-hmm.
And he was badly injured in the accident. His spine was severed. Mm-hmm. His neck was broken. He became a quadriplegic. Yes. All he could move was from his chin up. He was in the hospital for, matter of fact, at this moment he's a patient at Kingsbridge Veterans Hospital.
Sounds like a break that might get even a good man down, but not Junius Kellogg.
The doctors in Little Rock, Arkansas, in the Veterans Hospital are... From the time that I was hurt, they told me that I would be completely paralyzed from my neck down for the rest of my life, completely immobile.
You didn't accept that, huh?
No, I didn't. I kept praying, and the therapist there kept working with me, and I began to move my thumb, just the joint on my thumb.
Was that a thrill when you could really do it yourself?
Yes, after 3 or 4 months of trying from... just brain waves, and then you actually get movement. It was about the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life. And from just moving one joint of the thumb, I started moving the whole hand, and then the arms, and I have a little movement in my legs now.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you haven't stopped, have you?
I haven't, and I'm not giving up.
Spirit, that's the word. Spirit's what you'll always find on Strike It Rich. Junius Kellogg, who's still in the hospital, has already lined up a job for the day when he gets out. He's even managed to get his own apartment. And that's where Strike It Rich comes in.
You got anything in the apartment?
No, I'd like to get my apartment furnished, if possible, Warren.
Well, all right, here we go now. We have $30 to start with, and we're going to try to furnish that apartment. Right or wrong is the first category. How much on this?
All
the whole thing?
Shoot the works.
All right.
Shoot the works. This is Mitch Miller saying you'll strike it rich in emotional values when you join Warren Howell and Strike It Rich. And say, if you like good music, good talk, and interesting people, join me any Sunday evening on The Mitch Miller Show. I'll be looking forward to having you.